The first line of this next story sounds like it ought to be spoken by the narrator of a movie. When the Atlantic Ocean was young, sea monsters ruled. This is a true story. Some of their bones have turned up along the coast of West Africa. They go on exhibit soon at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Fossils that tell a sometimes bloody story of birth and death in the ocean. Here's NPR's Christopher Joyce.
I've come to the National Museum of Natural History to look for a big swimming carnivorous reptile. A section of the ocean's exhibit is walled off from view. A sign says, "Sea monsters unearthed, do not enter." A staff member lets me in. Next to a folding table, geology student Yasmin Jackson is unwrapping boxes full of fossils.
These are mostly real bones that we're dealing with, so it has to be very gentle.
Knowing that it's 80 million years old.
72 million years old.
Sorry. These bones are here at the nation's premier natural history museum because they're unusual. They were found in the rocky cliffs of Angola, overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. Angola is not a country known for fossils. Few scientists have looked there. Half a century of civil war made it too dangerous. But geologically, Angola, on the west coast of Africa, is special. 200 million years ago, Africa was part of a supercontinent. Then that continent started unzipping down the middle. Eventually, Africa and South America drifted apart. The South Atlantic Ocean filled in the gap between them, and then sea creatures moved in. Paleontologist Lewis Jacobs from the Southern Methodist University has been digging in Angola since 2005. He says fossils from its coastline tell the story of the ocean's earliest days.
You have an ocean where you didn't have one before, and now you have fossils of these marine monsters that are found there. So why did that happen? And why is it them that are there?
The marine monsters were mosasaurs, giant swimming reptiles. To get acquainted with mosasaurs, I went to SMU in Dallas. At the paleontology department, Jacobs leads me down into the basement and along a dark hallway to where his colleague Michael Poulsen has been reconstructing a mosasaur from the Angolan bones.
Wow, I told you that he was putting it together in his living room.
It was my dining room.
Bones of all shapes and sizes sit on shelves, but the eye catcher is a half-built mosasaur, hung up on rods and wires, the sinuous tail and neck, the rib cage, and a feeble-looking arm.
Justice.
Poulsen adds what looked like elongated fingers to one of the arms, and voila, it's a front limb, a mosasaur paddle. The big tail provided thrust. The animal's four paddles helped it navigate. Mosasaurs looked part lizard and part orca, but grew up to 50 feet long, about the length of a school bus. They probably had scales and a powerful tail fin similar to a shark's.
The way mosasaurs move is like lizards, where their bodies flex a lot from side to side.
You can see it was a very optimized swimmer. This was a pursuit predator.
There are more rooms and lots more bones. Poulsen says Angola was a mosasaur jackpot.
The first time we set foot there, it was incredible. You couldn't walk one pace without coming across another fossil. The ground was just littered with fossils.
One in particular tells a grisly story. It's a mosasaur skeleton, complete, lying flat on the table just as it was found in the Angolan rock. The looping spine and tail, the head twisted back in death. 3-inch-long teeth, 3-foot-long jaws. There are 2 sets of smaller bones coiled halfway down the beast, as well as some random shark's teeth. Jacobs explains what happened.
This is 3 different mosasaurs in the stomach.
The big one and 2 small ones it ate.
And then after the big fella died, you see the shark's teeth from where it was scavenged.
The shark's teeth came out as they ripped the flesh off the dead mosasaur. These and other fossils from Angola will be on view at the new exhibit at the Smithsonian in November. Then the original bones go back to Angola. Jacobs says their story is more than just how big and scary ancient reptiles could be. It's about how a new ocean and the conditions for new life were created. How trade winds stirred up deep water full of nutrients. The nutrients attracted fish and big turtles, and they attracted even bigger sharks and, ultimately, giant reptiles.
Geology controls destiny in the sense that biology has to adapt to the stage that it's put on.
It was a drama that might have continued if an asteroid hadn't hit the Earth and wiped out the giant reptiles and their dinosaur cousins, opening the door to us, the furry little mammals. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.